This evening, as we look into God's Word, I want us to think about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24, and verse 50. This is after Jesus has died, rose again on the third day, tarried with the disciples for many days after, and now he is about to ascend up. And in verse 50, we read this, Luke 24, 50, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. We have here the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word ascension just means to be lifted up. And truly, we aren't going to stop with just looking at the physical aspects of his ascension today. We will look at the fact that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is high and lifted up. But Jesus here was lifted up into the clouds, out of their sight. If we read that in verse 51, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. What would that have been like? The disciples standing there, they had seen their Savior crucified. They had been rejoicing over his return and in much amazement, I think is the best way to put that. They were much amazed at his resurrection, not expecting it. And then, now he goes up into heaven. What does that mean? He was parted from them and carried into heaven. Did he just vanish? Did he disappear, do a magician's trick? What happened? What occurred? Well, we can go to another passage that gives us a little bit more details in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 9. "And when he," that is Jesus, "had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." We have here more of a description of the occurrence of Jesus' being caught up into heaven. Notice in verse 9 that they were watching him. This wasn't that he performed a sleight of hand trick and they looked this way and they looked back and he was gone. Nor was it a vanishing that he was sort of started to lift off the ground, then he was invisible. But instead, he lifted up and they watched him going higher and higher until the cloud covered him and he could no longer be seen. There are many people who doubt Jesus. They doubt his existence. They doubt that he was born, that he lived. They doubt that he was died and the manner of his death. Others doubt that he rose from the dead. That's probably the most common one. But so many of them don't even realize that there was an ascension of Jesus, that he was caught up to heaven. There are a number of things we need to know about the ascension, and it's important because it ties in with his resurrection, and it tells us more about what we can expect. You see, Jesus, when he died in his body, was dead. And then he rose from the dead bodily. And he had, as he described it, flesh and bone. No longer blood, but flesh and bone. He was living and he had physical body. It was matter. It was physical. And as he is carried up, it is this body. It is not a picture of him or a delusion of him or a vision of Jesus rising up. It is his physical body leaving this earth and going up to heaven. We learn a few things about heaven from this. Our eternal abode, as it is sometimes called, or the rest that we have promised for us in heaven, the place where our mansions are, I'm sure some of you are looking forward to that, the rooms that we will have in heaven, that is a very physical and real place. Jesus went up bodily. He did not go up as a spirit into a spiritual plane of existence. Many of the Eastern religions and even some of the Christians think of heaven as this other place that is only spiritual. And yet we find that it is a place with space and with physical things, including Jesus, in it. It is a real place. It is a place that is directionally different from here. It is a place that is up. Now, I'm not sure how that works, and don't ask me to point out where it is. That is beyond my ability to know, and it is a place that is hid from our eyes in this life. But one day I will see it, and I will see Jesus there. But it is always described as being up. In the Old Testament, we have described for us the creation of the heavens. First, we have the sky, which is often called the heavens. And then we have the stars and all that is out there in space, and that was also referred to as heavens. But then we have where God sits on his throne, and that is called heaven. Solomon, when he had finished building the temple, he was praising God, and he acknowledged in the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 8 that God could not be contained in any dwelling place. Not even the highest of heavens could fully contain our great God. So don't misunderstand me. God is so much more and so much bigger. He cannot be contained even in the place called heaven. He is bigger than, more than, greater than. And yet, heaven is a real place. This is something that should comfort us. Because if Jesus went to a spiritual heaven that was only spirit, where only spirits could abide, then the promises of a new body would mean nothing. And being with Jesus would mean giving up that which connects us to, at this point, reality. And in that place connects us to the ability to do things. You know, spirits can't sing. There's no vocal cords to vibrate. There's no air to make the sound unless there is something physical there as well. And so we have even the joyous things like praising God, singing to him. All of that is built upon a foundation that we will physically be in heaven. When we have described for us that heavenly place, it is not merely using physical objects to represent mental images, figurative things, but rather that there exists an actual place called heaven. It's an actual place. We might not be able to find it in our lifetime, even if we looked with all the best tools, all the biggest telescopes, whatever. Yet it does exist. And Jesus was caught up into that place. I want us to also notice there in verse 9 that Jesus was taken up. This is very similar to what it said in Luke, that he was caught up. This implies that Jesus was not like walking up or, you know, flapping his arms. He was being carried by God up into heaven. And this pictures for us what will occur when we are raptured to be with him forever. It is not that we have to jump off the highest peak of the highest mountain. No, nor do we have to grow big wings in order to flap our way up to heaven. God will carefully lift us to be with him. That is what we are looking forward to. And these physical bodies will change, but we will still have bodies. We see Jesus being taken up into heaven. Here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, the disciples were doing just like any of us would. When you see something that's pretty amazing, out of the ordinary, or exciting, you often will stand there and just look. And if you're like me, sometimes the mouth goes, and you sort of drop the jaw and just like, whoa, look at that. And you might look a little bit longer, hoping to catch another glimpse. I also want us to put ourselves into the disciples' shoes. Here was someone they had loved and followed and served and obeyed for 3 years, and who had proved himself to love and care for them, even after they had, all of them, turned their backs on him. It wasn't just Peter at the trial of Jesus who said, "I know not the man," but none of the disciples followed him through that whole set of trials and to the cross. None of them did. They all turned their backs on him, and yet he welcomed them. And so when they are standing here looking up as he is carried up into the clouds, they were looking after someone that they longed for. They were watching, maybe to catch that last little glimpse of him. And they were hoping that it wasn't over. This was their desire, and this should be ours as well. When we get a glimpse of Jesus, hold on to it. Hold on to it tight. Don't let go until you know you've seen the last little flash of white of his garment or whatever as he's going from your sight. Hold on to that. The angels in this story in Acts chapter 1, these two men with white apparel, I'm calling them angels because they were messengers in this case, they told the disciples to stop looking, but in that they should still be looking. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? These two men ask, "Why are you gazing?" That first sounds like a very good thing to say. If Jesus was out of sight beyond where their eyes could reach, then why would they still be looking there? But then the two witnesses there cry out, "He shall come in the same manner as he went up into heaven." This should make all of us stargazers, maybe. Or if not stargazers, lookers up to heaven. I don't know. There's probably a good way of saying that. But we should all be looking for his coming at all times. Jesus did not give any warning. He was in the middle of speaking to them, and then after he was finished, he just taken up out of their sight. And one day, while we are walking with him, just as we are tonight, and as I hope you do every day, talking to him, praying to him, one day he will just appear in the sky and come down to meet us. He will come down to meet us, and we will be lifted up to him. It will be unexpected. It will be something that we are not having to work at, but boy, we should be desiring it. We should be looking forward to his coming again. We could hear go into all of Jesus' teaching. How many times did he give them parables or teach them about being ready for when he would come again? You know, the 10 virgins who were wise and the ones who were foolish and being prepared. We can insert all of that right here in this message, but we will not have time to get finished with it. Here we have the ascension of Jesus. It's a important part. You know, the world doesn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And often they will point to things like, "Well, we don't have the body and bones of Jesus. So, you know, what did you do? How did you hide him?" Well, the fact is, Jesus was not hidden. He was taken away. His body cannot be found because it is no longer here on this earth. And so we shouldn't look. Jesus is in heaven. If we go to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, and verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." We have here our lifestyle, our walking day by day is to be, as it were, in heaven. I'm not saying that we are here on earth physically and spiritually we're in heaven, but it's something close like that. Our fellowship with Jesus should be such that we are walking with him day by day here on this earth. And since we know he's in heaven, that means we're walking with him in heaven. Now, I'm not saying this earth is heaven, nor will it be. But we should be walking with Jesus. Notice the statement that Paul makes. It's a little bit different than the normal statement that he makes. Paul often will say something along the lines of "our Savior" and "our Lord Jesus Christ." But here he says that Jesus is the Savior, the Lord. He is here pointing out the certainty of the deliverance that we have and that there is only one Savior. Paul is not allowing us to look at any other possibility, but our eternal reward as well as our present deliverance is because of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Here, Paul is not pointing out our personal relationship with him, but rather his power and glory. Because notice what Jesus does in verse 21. He is the one who will change our vile body. This body is vile. It is full of corruption. It is full of desires and the inability to be patient. Our bodies are full of weakness. And yet this vile body will be changed and fashioned like unto his body. That'll be great, won't it? It'll be great to have a body like unto him. He was able to eat, but he didn't have to. And he was able to walk through walls, but he could also stand firmly upon the floor. He was able to do things that we cannot imagine with his new body, and it was a body that was no longer subject to temptation. That is, I think, where we should be more focused. We are not going to become superhuman like Superman or some other comic figure, but rather we will be like Jesus, and we will be like he was here on earth, and better than that, because he was able to withstand temptation, but in heaven we will no longer feel temptation at all. Jesus is able to work and give us this new body that's able to subdue everything unto himself. We will be completely under his control. You ever wonder, how can I stay on the highway? How can I keep from falling in the pit? Well, in this earth, it's a struggle. But once we get to heaven, it will all be subdued to Christ's will. It will all be under his control. That is a glorious thought. And I hope that you're excited about that as well. Our life is with him. And this isn't just a spiritual, airy-fairy sort of hope pie in the sky kind of thing. This is an actual place, heaven, where Jesus actually resides at this present moment with his physical body. And we will join him, not just mentally, but we will be with him in person. I don't know if any of you think this way, but during COVID, when most of our communication had to be remote, and you might call up your doctor remote, and you might Zoom in to see people's to talk with family and friends, or look at funerals from far, far away, it's good, but oh boy, it does not replace the physical, in-person fellowship that we have. It doesn't come anywhere close. You know, you can't shake hands with the virtual person on the other side of the screen. You can't do it. If you try, you're going to break your screen. You can't do that. You can't shake hands. You can't embrace someone. You can't see, hear, and understand the love that's coming from them as clearly as you can in person. This is the same for us. When we get to heaven, we will see Jesus as he is, and we will be like him, and the fellowship that we will have won't be separated by distance. It won't be distractible by everything going on around us. It won't be able to be stopped by the sin and the temptation and the desires of our own flesh, but instead there will be nothing between our soul and the Savior. This is our glorious hope. And all of this is tied back to the ascension. You know, if Jesus truly rose from the dead, but then he left his body here on earth to go up to be in heaven, then that's all we could look forward to as well. That one day we would be removed from this body. But instead, we will have removed from our body all that is corrupting, as Paul puts it here in Philippians, all that is vile. And we will be like our glorious Savior. That is a true hope. That is a wonderful promise. Jesus currently is sitting at the right hand of the Father. In Mark chapter 16, we won't turn there for time, we read this, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." The right hand was a place of authority. It was a place where that person who was respected and trusted would sit next to the throne, able to make pronouncements on behalf of the throne. And that's where Jesus is sitting now. We need to go back to Acts, because we have Jesus there showing us his heart. In the incident with Stephen, this is Acts chapter 7. Stephen preaches a message, and it's a good one. We don't have time for that one tonight either. It's a good one. He preached such that it cut to the heart of those who were listening. And then in verse 54, when they heard these things, that's Acts chapter 7, verse 54, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." We have here Jesus standing to receive his son, Stephen. That one who believed him to the death. This is the first martyr, Stephen. And here he is looking up into heaven. Again, heaven's upward. I don't understand if heaven maybe floats above Jerusalem. I don't know. We're not told that. That's something interesting to think about, maybe. But heaven is up. It's up from this earth. It's above. It's better than. It's amazing and powerful. It's a place where God resides, and here Jesus is standing on the right hand of God. When someone sits on their throne, they sit in power, in authority, making commands, directing their armies, whatever. That's where they sit. But Jesus left his seat to welcome Stephen. This shows us our reception with the Lord. He is not going to sit there and merely command us to go here, go there, but at each instance, He is interested in us. And He is ready to receive us. You know, Stephen isn't the only one that Jesus stands to receive. I expect one day to greet Jesus face to face. He wants each one of us to come to Him in this same manner. Not talking about martyred, but I'm talking about coming to Him while He is standing in heaven and we are coming to Him. Stephen saw into heaven. This does show us that heaven is not a place that our eyes can normally see. It is a place that is hid from our eyes. That's not that hard of a thing to understand, really. We don't see much of what goes on around us. If you've ever looked under a microscope and been amazed at the things that are around you, or looked at a telescope and realized there's multiple millions more stars than you can see with your naked eye, you realize there's a lot going on that our eyes can't perceive. And so it is no wonder that there is a place that we cannot see with these eyes unless God opens them and allows us to see. We will experience transformed bodies, but what heaven is like, we will not know till we are there. But we do know this, we will be with our risen and ascended Savior. And so the very one who walked this earth, fed the thousands when they were hungry and weak, sent them home so that they could rest, who took His disciples away so that they would not be overburdened, He is the very one we walk with today, and one day we will be with Him. And we will be with Him physically, in person. This is our glorious hope. And so, based upon the ascension of our Lord and Savior, let us praise God, who is going to welcome us one day, to join Him, to be with Him forever. That is our promise. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have not left us comfortless, but that You have shown us what it is that we are looking forward to. You have shown us that Jesus did truly raise from the dead and that it was a bodily resurrection. And Father, that we will one day be with You in person in a physical body, and Lord, that we will ever be with You. Father, we ask that You would work in our hearts even this week, that we would be impacted with eternity's values, that we would show to others our closeness of walk with You, that they might desire to see and to behold wonderful things out of Your law, that they might desire to know what hope it is that we are looking forward to so greatly. And Father, we ask that You would keep us from the pit of doubt, or Lord, that we would avoid the pit of pride, that our hearts would be drawn ever closer to You. And Lord, we ask Your name to be praised. Amen.